Well, as you see, today we're going to talk about small things. This is not a series. We've been doing a number of series. I did think about like small things and then like medium-sized things and then large things as a series, but no, this is just for today. We're going to talk about small things. And I almost thought about bringing Weston up here because he's a small thing, but I didn't think that might work out very well. But in this week's reading, and we've somewhat kept track of our reading throughout the year to have messages that sort of line up with our reading, and I feel like that's been beneficial. And in this week's reading in Zechariah, which in the Minor Prophets, some of that reading gets a little bit challenging, doesn't it? And I was just reading this past week about this thing that is given to Zechariah. It says, "Who despises the day of small things?" Probably referring to the rebuilding of the temple, and those maybe who remembered the former glory of Solomon's temple, that it seemed like this was such an effort and futility, or seemed like such a small thing. But the challenge was not to dismiss or be to despise the beginning of this thing and see it as something that is small. Now, that put my mind going about how the Bible speaks about some small things in a way that talks about how they have great value. And I wanted to just kind of let us all sort of go on that journey this morning, thinking about how small things can have great value. There are those that God calls on to take on a large role. You know, such as Peter preaching when the church was first born and 3,000 people, you know, became followers of Jesus. I mean, what an amazing thing that was. What a large role that was. And when Paul was brought into God's family and was given his role, Jesus said one of the things he would do was he would stand before kings and share about Christ. And sometimes we, on occasion, are called to do something in a larger context. But for a great many of us, I think God calls us to exercise our gift in a more ordinary setting. And should I say it, a smaller role? And in the way that we see the world, maybe it makes sense that we would know the names of quarterbacks in football, but maybe really not have much of a clue who it is that hikes the ball to them. Or look at CEOs differently than those who clean the buildings where they work. That's just a little bit about how our perspective works. But today we want to consider some things that appear small in our eyes but have surprising value in the sight of God. And so our theme for today is that small things done with large hearts have great value. Now that might sound a little familiar. I think it was Steve Shogren who was big on these small acts of kindness done with great love will change the world. And he was a pastor, and his church really made an impact with that very concept. But let's look at some examples in scriptures where we see this idea that small things done with large hearts have great value. And the first one that came to my mind was John chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, and a part of that is the part of the story of the feeding of the multitude of 5,000. Let's read just this section here that says that when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And it says that he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus already knew that he was going to provide miraculous feeding of the multitude, but he wanted to put the disciples in this place of trying to kind of grapple with this conundrum of a large need and not having much to meet that need. And Philip answered him, and he's just doing the math. He says, well, if we even had 8 months' wages, we wouldn't even buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. I mean, he's just trying to put it in perspective here. I mean, Jesus, do you really understand here the logistics of what we're looking at here? And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Then he quickly adds, but, you know, how far will they go among so many? How far will they go among so many? Well, we have a small thing here. We have a boy's lunch. But there's something about this small thing in that it was large in another way. It was large in willingness and availability. So we tend, I think, not to give children much credit for being able to contribute very much when we're facing a great need, something like feeding thousands of people. And how much value would you put on a boy's lunch? And don't get fooled by the word loaves, although even if it were loaves, you know, that wouldn't go very far with thousands of people. But loaves really here are really little bread cakes. They're not these kinds of things we go to the store and buy, but just little cakes, little bread cakes. And remember, this is a boy's lunch. You know, his mom or whoever packed him a lunch, not to feed 5,000, but to feed him. So we're talking about something that would be boy size. And I think we'd all have joined in with Andrew and said, you know, just how far do we expect this to go among so many? Now it seems, as we're just trying to enter into the story and imagine ourselves being there and trying to kind of gather a little bit of what's going on, that probably the little guy offered his lunch to the disciples. At the very least, he didn't hold back when it seemed that his lunch might be needed. So he appears to be nearby when Jesus asks Philip how they are going to feed this crowd. And he likely heard Philip say that it would take 8 months' wages to be able to give everyone just a bite of bread. In other words, we've got a big problem on our hands here. Now, kids are great because they have this simple belief that what they do have could somehow really make a difference. They're willing to offer a lot of times what they have, and in their minds, this might really make a difference. Weston is at the stage now where he's willing to kind of hand you something, and then you take it, and then sometimes he hands you something, you're about to take it, and he takes it back. He's at that stage where, and then he laughs, like, I really fooled you on that. But kids in general have this idea that, you know, they're often willing to contribute what they have without understanding that this little bit here, you know, might not really be enough for what we need. It's Andrew who says, you know, here is a boy, and this miracle is found in all 4 Gospels, and none of the other ones really mention this particular detail, but it's interesting. Here's a boy, and he has a lunch, and so this is what we have, Jesus, because when Jesus asks, he says, what do you have? They're looking around, and this is all they have, is they have the little boy's lunch, who's been willing, who's made his lunch available for those to eat. So he says, well, we've got 5 small barley cakes and 2 small fish, and that's it. That's not going to go very far. But Jesus didn't say, well, of course, you know, we can't do much with that. He said, well, bring that to me. And he took the little bread loaves, he gave thanks, and then he had those distributed. And then he took the small fish next, and he did the same. And on that day, as you know the story, all that crowd of thousands of people ate on one boy's lunch, miraculously multiplied by Jesus. Now, I think you got to believe that this just made this kid's day, right? It's like Jesus took his little lunch, he blessed it, and it went far beyond what anyone imagined. And this story speaks something deep in my soul, and I think to yours as well, because we're not much different than that boy. What we have to offer many times seems small and might feel insignificant when matched up against the need, when matched up against what we're looking at as the great issue or the great problem or the great need that's out there. We may even wonder, you know, what is this, or how much difference will this make up against such a great need? But Jesus says, I think, to us as well as he did in this situation, just come and offer it to me and see how in my hands it can be multiplied. See what I can do with what seems to you to be little. And that's the amazing thing about offering our what we have to Jesus, is that he's able to take it and multiply it and make it much more than we could possibly imagine. I can get caught in the trap of thinking about what I don't have to offer rather than what I do have. I'm a lot of times just thinking, if I had this, or if I had that, or if I had more money, or if I had more talent, then I could do these greater works. You know, I could have this greater impact. And it's encouraging to us to read 2 Corinthians 8:12 that says, for if the willingness is there, if you have a willing heart, if you have a willing mind, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So it's what you have to offer. It's what God has gifted you with. It's what he has blessed you with. And if it's small, still in his hands, it becomes large. It becomes great. It becomes something of value. So, a small thing, but yet large in willingness and availability. And your willingness and your availability is great in God's eyes. So I thought of another small thing. Mark 9:41, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And here's another small thing, but it's large in love and compassion. Hope we're not reading too much into the story. Let's just think about this a little bit. But how much value would you place on a glass of water? Well, it might depend on your circumstances, but ordinarily, you wouldn't think too much of it. And though we do drink a lot of bottled water now in our day, you still can go over to the tap with your little glass, your cup, and turn on the faucet, fill up your glass, and voila, you have a drink of water. Probably wasn't quite as convenient in Jesus' day. But think of this idea of offering that glass of water. It seems such a small thing, doesn't it? But this small thing, done with love, done with compassion, done in order to bless someone, is something that is rewardable. Something Jesus said, there will be a reward for something as simple, as small, as offering a drink of water. When it's given in a way that is honoring to him. And it's a reward that can be earned by anyone. The small act of offering a cup of water can be an indicator of the heart behind the action, a heart large in love and compassion. What we see is a simple glass of water. That's what we see. But what God sees is the heart that gives the glass of water. And this has always been true of God, always will be true of him, that he looks on the heart, and what is there is what matters to him. We see the outwardly big things and figure those are what have value, and some of them do. But Paul reminds us that if love isn't behind those big things, then when you start calculating the value and you draw a line at the very end, you come up with, Paul said, nothing. In 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, that's a big thing, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Large, large things, but without love, they add up to nothing. And yet, small things done with love, can have great impact. Can have great impact. You might be tempted to think that your little act of service is too small to count for anything, but don't be tempted to think that. There are all kinds of seemingly small things done here in the church and out in the world. But when love and compassion is behind those things, then God values them. So do what you can. Do it in Jesus' name. Do it with love and compassion, and it will count for something in God's eyes. If something as small, something as simple as a glass of water offered with love and compassion is something Jesus says is worthy of reward, then any act done in such a way is something God sees as having value. All right, let's look at the third, because sermons have 3 points, right? So we had to have three. Mark chapter 12 is the story of the widow who came and gave her offering. Jesus, it says, sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. A small thing, but large in generosity and sacrifice. So how much value would you put on 2 pennies in the offering plate? Well, sometimes that would be awfully hard for a church to run on if all we got were pennies in the offering plate. And these Greek copper coins were the smallest in use, and it took 2 of them to make the smallest Roman coin of that day. You know, Jesus took a seat with a good vantage point in order to watch people dropping off their offerings at the temple, and apparently it was a good offering day. Because many rich people, we read, were throwing in large amounts. And so all of this was going on, and it's interesting because Jesus said nothing while all of that was going on. But then a poor widow, probably shabbily dressed, probably barely noticed by the other donors, made her way to the treasury box. She opened up her hands and 2 very small coins slid from her fingers and disappeared among the larger gifts. And it was then that Jesus called his disciples and said, I want you to learn something. I want to tell you a truth. Do you see that poor widow? She has put more into the treasury than all the others. And the disciples, I'm sure at this point, are no doubt confused. They have no clue what Jesus is saying until he continues. All the rest, he says, gave out of their wealth. In other words, yes, they gave a big dollar amount, but they were going to go home to a lot left over. I can see the disciples saying to themselves, okay, that's no big surprise. But it's then that Jesus drops the bombshell. He says, but that poor widow, she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on. And it's then that the light starts coming on for the disciples. And they begin to see what Jesus is saying. That it's not the size of our gift, not the size of our service. It's the size of our hearts that count. And they just witnessed a heart large in generosity and sacrifice. Paul talked about the Macedonian churches that were living in extreme poverty, but who out of their overflowing joy gave generously. He said that their generosity was rich. They not only gave as they were able, he said, they gave what appeared to be beyond their ability. These two stories, the story of the widow, the story of the Macedonian churches, are just so challenging to us today, I think, because our hearts are tied to things that make it hard for us just to open ourselves up and to willingly give or willingly serve or willingly live in such a way that we're just giving it all as they did. We all want to make a difference, but sometimes we think we have too little to offer. What difference will our little make? This well-known story that comes from Lauren Isley is one you'll probably recognize. Lauren Isley said, or wrote, I awoke early, as I often did, just before sunrise, to walk by the ocean's edge and greet the new day. As I moved through the misty dawn, I focused on a faint, faraway motion. I saw a youth bending and reaching and flailing arms, dancing on the beach, no doubt in celebration of the perfect day soon to begin. As I approached, I sadly realized that the youth was not dancing to the bay, but rather bending to sift through the debris left by the night's tide, stopping now and then to pick up a starfish, and then standing to heave it back into the sea. I asked the youth the purpose of the effort. He said, "The tide has washed the starfish onto the beach, and they cannot return to the sea by themselves. When the sun rises, they will die unless I throw them back into the sea." As the youth explained, Isley said, I surveyed the vast expanse of beach stretching in both directions beyond my sight. Starfish littered the shore in numbers beyond calculation. The hopelessness of the youth's plan became clear to me, and I countered, "But there are more starfish on this beach than you can ever save before the sun is up. Surely you cannot expect to make a difference." The youth paused briefly to consider my words, bent to pick up a starfish, and threw it as far as possible. Turning to me, he simply said, "I made a difference to that one." Isley goes on to say, "I left the boy I went home deep in thought of what the boy had said. I returned to the beach and spent the rest of the day helping the boy throw starfish into the sea. Our little bit against the vast need sometimes can seem insignificant. Does it really make a difference? Does a simple prayer, does a short note, does a helping hand, does an encouraging word, is it really all that valuable? They are such small things. But when given from large hearts, they make a difference. They have great value in God's sight. We usually close by a section called Making It Personal. For some reason, I always have three things under Making It Personal, too. So first, allow for small things to have great value. And basically here, I'm just wanting to remind you that there's a temptation to be dismissive towards small things. I do this all the time. I look at something, and I just judge it by its size so many times. I just judge it by its degree of impact. But what I'm asking or encouraging you to do is to put a new filter on your eyes that will allow you to give space for the small things to have value that you don't see at first, that you aren't able at first to appreciate. Allow for small things to have great value, and then keep the motive for your service in view. And as I was just thinking about this entire idea about our giving or about our service, I was again reminded of this passage that we read through in it's in the Minor Prophets again, so you're just going to have to bear with this a little bit. The people of Bethel and had sent Sharezer and Regemmelech together with their men to entreat the Lord by asking the priests of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets, should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I have done for many years? This is kind of a question. As I understand it, this was a self-imposed fast. And it's kind of like, do we have to keep this up kind of an idea? And notice God's answer. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me to Zechariah. He said, ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and you mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, here's the question, was it really for me that you fasted? See, that gets down to motive. It's like, why am I serving? Why am I giving? Why am I doing these things? Is it really with God in view? Is he really the motive for what I'm doing? It goes on to say, and when you were eating and drinking, were you just feasting for yourselves? Is it just for ourselves sometimes and for what we'll get out of it that we're doing the things that we're doing? And then finally, don't hold back what you're able to offer, even if it seems small. Even if it seems small. Another passage in the Minor Prophets that is well known is Micah 6 that we've read just recently. And you know it well. As I read it, I was just thinking about the contrast between what we might seem God is expecting and what he, in fact, is pleased with. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? We're talking large here. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Is this what it takes to please God? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Notice the simple. Notice that in some ways they could be seen as small things. To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Thank you today for coming to hear about small things. My hope is that you've heard just the thing God wanted you to hear today. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for the many large things that are a blessing. And we know, Lord, that it's not really a matter of large or small. What is really the thing that matters is what's going on in our hearts. If there's love and compassion there, if there's willingness and availability, if there's generosity and sacrifice, then Lord, whatever we have to offer, however small it might seem, then it is large in your eyes, and it should be large in our eyes as well. Thank you for those who've gathered today, and we're just asking your blessing, Lord, upon each one in the use of these passages in each life for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.